Hello everyone again. I've been doing quite a few audio boos today, well this evening, but I've got my house to myself. Connor's in bed, Rona's at his auntie's and Obie's at work. So I'm probably going to have a pretty sleepless night, so I will catch up with some direct messages and listen to some audio boos and respond where necessary. I might even put my laptop on if I get to the end of all this, which I highly doubt. Anyway, I want to respond to the question, what made us get our first guide dog, asked by Lee Hodge. And the question from me is a simple one, really. I had always liked dogs. We'd grown up with pet dogs. I'm the only blind person in my family, but my parents had a bit of an issue with me going out alone. They knew I did it at school. Well, we didn't go out alone at school till the sixth form, but we went out with another partner, you know, with another girl, and we went out on our own down country lanes and all sorts of places. They would have had a fit if they probably knew. But we had to go out for a walk after lunch every day. And but when I was at home, they had an issue with me going out alone. And as a result, it kind of impacted on my own confidence, really. I felt less confident to go out alone. And my mum said to me one day, well, I'll let you go out alone if you apply for a guide dog. Now, I had thought about it. When I was at school, someone, our form teacher in our final year, I think it was just before we left, had said, okay, if there's anyone who wants to apply for a guide dog, they were going to give us some application forms. There was me and two other girls applied, and we got them all. We actually trained with our first dog all around the same time, funnily enough. So that was really why I got my first guide dog, because my mum was worried about me going out alone. I actually started at university. I was still 17, and I was there a year before I had my first dog. I was called for training in the May of the following year, but obviously that was exam time and I couldn't just up and leave to train with the dog. So I had to turn that dog down, and so I was called again in the August. So I don't know, I think I waited about a year for my first dog, and she was a yellow lab called Yuma. Unfortunately, I only had her a year because her social behaviour was really awful. She needed quite a lot of physical correction, which I didn't like doing. I was quite shy back then. I was only 18 when I got her. They gave her to a man after me, and he only had her for 3 months, and she was withdrawn because he had a lot of problems with her. She really wasn't cut out to be a guide dog. She was very highly strung. She would have been better off as a drug sniffing dog, which is actually what her sister Yuna did. She was Yuma, U-M-A. She was a fawn coloured Labrador, but she had a golden wavy streak down her back that was longer. She was longer coated on her back. She was a lovely dog, and I was very sorry to part with her, and I did do a lot of soul searching over it, but they said it was a mismatch, and I don't think it was just a mismatch. I think she was a misqualification, to be honest. I don't think she should have ever qualified. She was a very complex dog. I think she was really too intelligent to be a guide dog. She was one of those dogs that would use her initiative against you and run rings around you in a way, and especially with a novice like me. And I don't know if the man was a novice, but he didn't even have her as long as I did. So she was found a nice home, and I did see her again once, and she was settled in very well with the lady who was the cook at the Wokingham Training Centre, which is where she came from. So I did keep in touch with them for a few years, and I don't know what happened to her in the end. I'm sure she lived a long and happy life. I hope so anyway. My next dog was Star, who was a very pale Labrador. She was almost white, and she came from Forfar, and she was my dream dog, actually, and I never looked back, and that's my preferred mobility option. I can use a cane, but I don't really, I feel a bit like a fish out of water with it. I feel a bit out of my depth. A guide dog, I don't think I would have done some of the things or managed so well without a guide dog. I used to work in London. I used to commute every day. Well, I lived in London for 5 years, then I was commuting up and down to London for about another 5 years or so. I was all over London, going out, coming home late at night, going out with friends. I had never travelled around in London on my own before, and I don't think I would have had the confidence to do it on and off the underground, stations I didn't know, places I'd never been to, all over the country. I was very independent. I didn't like accepting help. I would accept more help nowadays. But I wasn't rude to people. And I, you know, when I was working at my, not my last job, because that was local to here, but my last London job, I went one way and came home a different way because it was just easier that way. And I had to negotiate about six different stations every day. And that wasn't including if I went out for the evening and I met friends somewhere or whatever. So my dogs really had a heavy workload. And then I had children and their role changed again. And that was this time having to watch out for me when I towed a buggy. I had it fitted with a harness behind me. And I had the dog in one hand, I pulled the pram with the other. And then my child was walking on reins and the dog had to learn we had to keep stopping if the child was playing up or if he fell over. Or, you know, sometimes they'd sit down on the backside and refuse to get up. And my dog was very, very patient. I was on another dog now, Mandy. I don't think Star would have tolerated it because she was only like one speed and that was fast. Mandy was a very versatile dog. She worked in London. She worked with the buggy and she'd never been trained for it either. And she also worked with a toddler and then an older child. And then she worked with a different buggy and another baby and me holding a child with my right hand. So we were a right poppy show, I tell you. We took up half the pavement. So she was the most versatile of all my dogs, because when I had her, I was working in London and I hadn't even thought about having kids much. So she was the one that really had the most varied work out of all of them, because my life changed quite dramatically from the time I had her to the time she retired. I went from working in London to having one child, then to having two children, one of which was in a buggy still and the other one which was walking and had to hold my hand. And that does require a different kind of work. The dog has to... When you go past an obstacle, if you're walking along a pavement and there's an obstacle in the centre of the pavement, the pram does stick out slightly. It's wider than me. It sticks out slightly both sides. Well, it did. So I was in the centre, but there was a bit behind the dog. So the dog had to be not afraid of the wheels, and they didn't catch the dog, but they could do if you stop too sharply and the pram, you didn't control it well enough with your right hand. Because although I had it fitted around my waist, I also had a handle because I felt more comfortable to manoeuvre it up and down steps. And I would mostly hold on to that, except when I had to hold on to my other son's hand. And then obviously I couldn't hold on to that and the buggy. I had to let go of his hand. I had to get him up on the pavement and then tell him to stand still. Luckily he was 5, coming up for 6, so he was quite sensible. And he always was anyway, and I had to tell him to stand still while I then lifted the front wheels of the buggy up onto the pavement and got it up, balanced it out, and then took his hand again. So the dog had to be used not to mind the pram behind its legs. Mandy, if an obstacle was in the middle of the pavement, when the dog takes you round it, then they had to centralise themselves. She had to know when the buggy was past it, which is quite an art when the dog hasn't been trained for that, because she has to go further along. Like if you go to the right to avoid an obstacle, she had to stay to the right much longer than if it was just me, and then she could go back into the centre of the pavement again, because she had to make sure the buggy wasn't going to hit it as we went past. It was quite a skilled thing. So she went from working in London to doing that, then dealing with a toddler and, you know, and walking really slowly, because me and her are fast walkers. And then she went, to the buggy again, back to the buggy, and that was just for 1 year. She did that for just over a year again before she retired. She was 11 when she retired. And I did get a dog that was trained for the buggy. But it wasn't any easier with him because he had spending issues. So actually I trained her, Mandy, myself with the buggy, and I did ask guide dogs to come out just to make sure we were working safely. But by the time they came out, we'd been doing it for 3 months, and they said there's nothing more they can teach me. So they just did say I could cut, because I make my dog, you know, I work my dogs to the straight line principle, I always have done. And there was one really wide corner where we did a left turn, and they said I could miss that out and just go around the corner, because the chances are I wouldn't usually be crossing there anyway. And in fact, I went on to do that with all my other dogs, because it was such a wide, really, really wide corner, and the dogs would take half an hour to get up to it because they knew they were turning left, and it wasn't just any old left, it was left into our road. So we were really nearly always going that way. That's the only time I've really let them off of it. And the other thing we had to do, we couldn't do a back left turn with the buggy. I had to do a front left turn. So I still carried on doing the front, going up to the curb, but I had to do a front left turn, and the dog had to be very clever, because if there was a lamppost there, she had to get me round that as well. She had to get herself far enough away and to pull me away from it, if you know what I mean. So there was a bit of an art to working with the buggy. And she was, I must say, I took a bit of time to settle with her initially, but she, I'm not saying she wasn't the best of my dogs as workers go, you know, in technique terms. They've all got their really good points, though. If they've got a bad point, then they've got, usually got 10 good points that outweigh it. And she was certainly the most versatile. I'm not saying the others couldn't have been, but they just didn't have to be. So she definitely worked a very full life, and she did have a long retirement too. She went to my parents, and they had her for 5.5 years. She actually was put to sleep when she was exactly 16 and a half. So she did have a good long retirement. Anyway, that's my story, and I'll love you and leave you and speak to you all soon. Bye for now.